Well, hello and happy new year. I'm glad to be here with you. Special welcome to those of you who are watching online or at Crossroads or Vernon Hills, or especially my friends at Highland Park. I want to give you a special welcome and commiserate with you a little bit because we know Brad Coleman is down in Naples right now, enjoying a rough start to his new year. So we'll make do here together. Glad you guys can be a part of our service today. So as you may know, we are in the third and final week of a series that we're kicking off the new year with called Peter's Last Words to the Church, where we're looking at the first chapter of 2 Peter, which is a letter that Peter wrote right toward the end of his life. And as Mike has talked about the last couple of weeks, it's really a series of reminders to lean into faith and obedience and holy living and righteousness as a means of persevering through difficult times. And this was the message that Peter was giving to his readers, to the church there in the early centuries, and then by extension to you and me. And it's really a timely word for the season that we're in. I don't know what things feel like to you right now. But my wife and I just keep commenting, like, we're still waiting for the freshness of the new year to feel like it's begun. We all know COVID has given us all a big happy new year. Seems like everybody's family's been hit by COVID right now in one way or another. And then, you know, tensions are rising on that. You got politicians spouting off back and forth at each other every day in the news, and just all these sorts of things kind of holding us back from what we might want to feel like, you know, is excitement and moving forward. In my family too, I've got a senior that's going off to college next year. So this is like college application season, and just seems like, you know, we're being pulled every which direction. And so this message from Peter through his writing, I think is especially timely for all of us. These series of reminders to where we need to be focusing our attention and where we can find hope and encouragement. But the thing about reminders is, if we don't pay attention to them, they don't do us very much good. And as we'll see in just a little bit, the section that we're moving toward today in Peter's letter, that's kind of his main deal is, hey, you got to pay attention to the reminders if they're going to do you any good. So when I was a high schooler, I had a friend who had this 1981 Jeep CJ7 Renegade. Now, we loved this Jeep. And this wasn't like the newer Jeeps that are all safety conscious. This was like an old sort of narrow body Jeep that had a high center of gravity. I'm sure it was a death trap back in the day, but we loved it. And we would drive all around in his 1981 Jeep. I had a 1985 Chevy Cavalier. These were sort of like the classic cars, you know, back in the day. Not like North Shore classic cars that you'd find at the Canals Museum, but like North Florida classic cars. And that's how we rolled back in the day. But my friend just prided himself on like how tight he could make turns in this Jeep and how fast he could drive backwards in this Jeep. And of course, you know, there were no doors and no top. And we would just sort of go careening around Jacksonville, Florida as teenagers, not heeding what I'm sure our parents frequently reminded us of, which was, hey, that's a dangerous car. You should be careful when you're driving. I'm sure we heard it 1,000 times and it went one ear and out the other. And frankly, it didn't end well for my friend's Jeep. He wound up totaling it, lost everything, and that was a sad, it was a sad moment in our life. But lots of reminders that, you know, went unheeded and it didn't end well. And of course, we could all tell our own stories, right, of episodes or series of events in our lives where we had good reminders, but we didn't pay enough attention, and it didn't end well. Well, that's not what Peter wants for us. That's not what we want for ourselves in this new year. And so we're focusing today on continuing to see these reminders that we're given in God's Word through the Apostle Peter. And so we're going to jump into 2 Peter chapter 1. And kind of pick up, I'm going to back up a little bit to where Mike took us last week, just to frame up kind of where we're at, and then move into the closing section of the first chapter and see what's there for us as we dig into Peter's last words to the church. So backing up a little bit to verse 10, we're seeing how Peter talks about these reminders. He says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, which he had said earlier in the chapter, focusing on faith and obedience and goodness and this series of virtues to stay committed to. If you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, it's important to pay attention, right? Because that's how we keep from stumbling, and that's how we can have confidence that one day we will enter into the kingdom. He goes on to say, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." Notice this. I mean, it's just this theme, right? I want to remind you. I want to refresh your memory. This is an important concept. "Because I know that I will soon put it aside." That is the tent of his body. That is his life. And he's had this message from our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, this message that he's going to be passing on soon. And so then he says it again. "So I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to," what? "Remember these things." So obviously this is an important thing for Peter as his life is coming to an end. Remember, remember, remember. I want to remind you of what you know. And we need these reminders in life. And so we go on, and this is the section where we're going to focus our attention today, beginning in verse 16. He says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." So in the next few verses that close out this chapter, Peter really makes one point. He's reminding his readers of one massively all-important thing that has been written in the scriptures, that has been prophesied in the scriptures, and that is that the Lord Jesus Christ will come in power. That's what he wants you and me to remember, to be reminded of, so that we might hold firm and persevere, and we might have hope in our faith. And so what he's saying is, hey, he didn't make this up. We did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So one of the things about how do we understand these few verses is knowing where Peter is going later in this book, in this the next few chapters. And right in chapter 2, he begins to introduce this idea that there are false prophets or false teachers who are saying things like, "Those are just cleverly devised stories." Right? They were trying to undermine what these Christians were holding to, and that is that Jesus Christ will return. And so he begins to argue against what these false teachers are saying, and he says, no, we didn't follow cleverly devised stories. And in fact, in that day, this would be like the idea of myths. I mean, mythology was big in this culture, and so the myths were either sort of moral tales that told a truth, or they were just sort of fanciful stories that had no grounding in reality. And scholars think that in this context, you know, what was being said by these opponents of Peter and the apostles was that the idea that Jesus would return was really one of these fanciful tales that's not rooted in reality, so we shouldn't pay attention to it. This is what was in the ears and the heads of these early Christians that Peter was writing to remind them otherwise. And he says, no, it's not a myth. It's not a cleverly devised story. And how do we know? Because we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw it with our own eyes that Jesus Christ will return. And so here's what he saw. He goes on to describe. He says, "He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves," this is Peter and the other apostles, heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." So he's referring to what is known as the Transfiguration. And this is Jesus taking his apostles up to a mountain. And then there was an appearance of Moses and Elijah and the voice of God the Father telling Peter, James, and John, who were sort of the core apostles, this message. "This is my son, Jesus Christ, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So what's so unique about this event and what Peter is drawing attention to is that this was an affirmation of prophecy. This was an interpretation that God the Father himself was giving to what had been previously prophesied in the Old Testament. So notice this. He quotes the Father saying, remember, it was this voice from the majestic glory. It was God the Father. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Now, that's important phrasing because of the previous prophecies. So we see in Isaiah 42, the prophecy that says, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." And so there was a prophecy that one day the servant, or also sort of described as the Son of God, Yahweh, Israel's God, would one day come. He's the one that the Father delights in. He's the one who he will pour out his spirit through, and he's the one that's going to bring justice to the nations. So one day, all of the struggles and trials and difficulties and challenges, all of the darkness of the present world is going to be made right when the Son comes, the servant comes to bring justice to the nations. That was the prophecy from the prophet Isaiah. Another spot where this showed up, and it shows up throughout the Old Testament, but another place is in Psalm 2 through David. And David is saying, "I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery.'" If you're a fan of Handel's Messiah, you might recognize this, the words of this prophecy. One of the great arias in that oratorio is, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel." And it's speaking of the work of Jesus when he returns. So one day, Jesus Christ, the Son who had been prophesied, will return in power. He's going to bring justice to the nations. He's going to destroy those who are the opponents, the enemies of God. And he's going to bring blessing and inheritance to the people of God. This is what had been prophesied. And this is what Peter is reminding his readers, and what he's reminding you and me of, is that this is true and it will happen. It's not just something that was prophesied centuries before in the Old Testament. It's something that he was an eyewitness to, a confirmation of these prophecies. And so when we go back to verses 17 and 18, this is what Peter's saying. We saw that prophecy confirmed when we heard the voice on the mountain, pointing to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the actual man who walked the earth, as the one who is that same Son. He's well pleased, and he's going to be the one that's going to return in power. And so this is what Peter says is the result of that. He says, "Now we also have the prophetic message," think Isaiah 42, think Psalm 2, "as something completely reliable. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." So here's another sort of interpretive area where it helps to kind of see some translation issues. So the way that this first phrase is translated in the New International Version, which is what we're reading right now, reads this way, right? "We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable." But other translations, they kind of get at something that was more in this language. And in fact, an earlier version of the NIV phrased it a little bit differently. And it says, "We have the prophetic message as something more sure." And it's the idea that this voice that came down on the mountain that Peter and James and John heard confirmed what Isaiah had prophesied, confirmed what David had prophesied, or more specifically, confirmed what God himself had prophesied through Isaiah, through David, and he's confirming it in this audible voice on that sacred mountain where Peter and James and John heard the affirmation. And so they're saying, "Hey, we didn't make this up. This is not a myth. We ourselves were eyewitnesses. We saw it. We stood on the mountain. We saw the transfiguration where Moses and Elijah and the voice from God were present. We heard the voice with our own ears." And so you can imagine the conviction that Peter would be speaking with. I mean, he's at the end of his life. He knows he doesn't have much more time left. And here's the crux of everything. It's that these new believers, these Christians that he was leading, would continue to believe that Jesus Christ will come again. That's the big reminder. And if that's true, that he will come again, then all these other reminders fall right in line with that. If Jesus is coming and he's going to bring justice to the earth, he's going to judge his enemies, and he's going to reward his followers, his children, then let's live as children of God. Let's put on faith and goodness and righteousness and all those things that he talks about at the beginning of the letter. That's how we're called to live. In hope, certain hope, that one day Jesus Christ will return in power. That's what we need to be reminded of. And what's interesting here, and this is really the kind of the crux of the chapter one argument, the appeal of what he wants, how he wants us to respond, is this. He says, you will do well to pay attention to it. How? As to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So he talks about the coming of Jesus in power, the bringing justice to the nations as the day dawning. What a powerful image. It's like the world is cloaked in darkness, waiting for this day to come. And it is. I mean, throughout Scripture, it talks about the darkness of the world. But one day, the day will come, the dawn will come. And it's interesting how he talks about the day dawning, which is sort of a cosmic reality. All the world will see when the light comes. But he also talks about the inner impact of that day. The morning star rises in your heart. So there will be, it's a revival. It's a realization of hope. It's joy. It's moving into the eternal reward. So not only is the day rising outwardly, but also inwardly in the hearts of all who would believe, one day, the day will come, the morning star will rise in your hearts. And then that gives hope to us even today. So I think it's worth stopping and lingering here a little bit and thinking about where you and I are relative to what he talks about here in terms of the dark place. Last week, Mike talked about everybody falling into one of two categories, and he named a few. And I think this actually points to kind of a one of two ways that we live here. I mean, some of us feel like we're in a dark place right now. And certainly there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, I talked about it earlier, just what's happening in the world around us with the pandemic, with political tensions, with just personal situations. I mean, some of us have this keen feeling every day that we are in a dark place. And so what those of us who feel that way need to be reminded of is there is a light. And that light is what will lead us through the darkness. It's what will carry us through. If you feel that weight of darkness right now, I want to give you hope from this reminder from Peter that will be like a light shining in that dark place for you. And it's what he keeps saying. Jesus Christ will return and bring justice to this world. That is the hope. So if you feel like you're in that dark place, that's your reality. Hang on, see the light, pay attention to this reminder, because that's what will lead you through and give you hope until the day dawns and that morning star rises in your heart. So that's many of us. We don't need to be convinced that we're in a dark place. We see it, we feel it. But I think others of us don't see it that way. I think others of us don't see ourselves in a place of darkness. Maybe things are going well for you. Maybe you're experiencing thriving and success despite everything in the world around you. Or maybe you're just somebody that just, you're kind of like water rolling off the back of a duck, you know? Yes, there's hard times around, but you persevere and it doesn't weigh you down in the way that it does some other people. And I think there's an awareness that those of us who are in that category need to receive from this, and that is being reminded that the world, biblically, spiritually, is a dark place. And one of the themes through Scripture is that those who are of the world love that darkness more than they love the light. And they like to stay in that darkness because it's a place to hide and not to be seen and not to be exposed. But without question, throughout the Bible, the world is talked about as a place of spiritual darkness. And some of us need to be reminded of that, to see with spiritual eyes the dangers all around us, to pull us away from paying attention to the fact that Jesus will return, to the fact that he will bring justice, to the fact that those who reject him, who do not pay attention to him, will be part of the judgment when the day comes. Only those, as Peter has reminded, only those who follow after him, believe in him, and live as children of the light, those are the ones who will receive blessing and reward when this day comes. So if you're in a place where it doesn't feel so dark, I think there is a spiritual reminder to pay attention, to dwell on the fact that the world is a spiritually dark place, and we need to be spiritually attentive to cling to the light. And for all of us, the idea of paying attention as to a light shining in a dark place, I think, is a powerful image. I'm going to tell you another driving story. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'm looking for a blank slide. So the slide controller, if you can make that go blank for a second, I want to step away from it. So same friend that had the Jeep Renegade when we were in high school, I went to visit him this past year. And he has a place in the mountains in Virginia. And it was in November, and we were driving to this cabin that's sort of up in the mountains. And it was at night, and it had been raining. And when the clouds come in that section of the Blue Ridge Mountains, it's like the clouds sit really low. And if you know what it's like to, move into a cloud, think you're flying on an airplane and you fly into the cloud, what can you see when you're in the cloud? Exactly nothing. And so we're driving at night, the clouds were sitting heavy, it was raining, and we're sort of winding up this narrow mountain road to get to his place. And to make matters worse, not only was the visibility like only maybe 10 yards in front of the car, where just the immediate pool of light from the headlights could see, but it was fall, and all of the glorious multicolored leaves, when that rain had come earlier that day, it just pulled them all down. So the road was covered with leaves, which means we couldn't see the lines. So the middle lines of the road, the side lines of the road, all covered with leaves. Couldn't see anything. I mean, you're just driving on a path of leaves. Couldn't tell anything. You could only see, 10 yards in front of us in the pool of light, and it was cloudy and hazy. And so same two guys who used to careen around in the Jeep in high school, recklessly, not paying attention to any warnings, were like glued to the windshield looking for any guidance, any light in that dark place to keep us from driving off the road. And we noticed something that night that had always been there, and in fact, it's on most roads everywhere, had seen them but never paid a bit of attention. And it's those reflectors, those rectangular reflectors that sit about 4 feet off the ground on a metal pole to the side of the road. I mean, you see them on the highways, you see them on roads all over the place. I've seen them my whole life, never have ever paid a bit of attention to them until that night, when the only way we knew we weren't going to drive off the road is when we would see one of those reflectors come into view on the left or the right side of the road. And so we were just eyes peeled, paying as close attention as we possibly could, driving slow. The only guide we had was when the light would reflect off one of those panels and we knew, to turn. And it was a stunning reality to go, oh my goodness, I've seen these things my whole entire life. But it wasn't until we were in that dark place, and those lights were the only way that we weren't going to drive off the mountain, that we really paid attention. And I think that's the gist of what Peter is getting at. I think he's saying, pay attention to the prophecies. Pay attention to the scriptures like you would a light in a dark place when your life depends on it. I think that's what he wants. I think that's the reminder that we need to hear is, oh, to whatever degree that we've been paying attention, pay much closer attention to the prophecy that Jesus will return and how we're to live in light of that promise. Pay attention as to a light in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And so just like that drive reminded me just how much I usually don't pay attention, I think we would do well, as Peter says, to assess how much you and I have been paying attention. Maybe those of us who feel the darkness of the world around us, we would do well. We would find encouragement. We would find hope by paying closer attention to this truth that Jesus will return. Be encouraged by that. Those of us who don't recognize the darkness quite so acutely, pay attention and see, oh man, maybe I have been sort of pulled or lulled into not really paying attention spiritually to what's happening in the world and to what it's doing to my soul. Pay attention as to a light shining in a dark place, because that's when we lean in like our life depends on it. And then he goes on from there. We'll return to the passage. And he sort of expands it out. After saying, yeah, pay attention to that specific promise that had been confirmed by the word on the mountain, he sort of expands it out and he says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so I'll go back to the point he was making when the Father's voice came affirming those much earlier prophecies, it made it that much more certain. And he's saying every prophecy is that certain because it never came just from the prophet's own interpretation. Every prophecy of Scripture has been sent by the Holy Spirit through these human voices or channels of the prophets so that they are all completely reliable. So not only do we pay attention to the prophecy or the word that Jesus Christ will return in power and find our hope, and we need to pay attention to that, he's saying pay attention to all of the prophecies of Scripture because all of them are completely reliable. That's where we find our guide. Those are those reflector lights on the side of the road as we navigate the darkness, the spiritual darkness of the world that we live in. Pay attention to the prophecies. That's Peter's last words. And then he gets in, like I said, in the next couple of chapters to sort of the opponents of this. I mean, what's in the heads and hearts of these believers. And I mean, goodness, we can relate to this. Notice that we're jumping ahead to the third chapter, just pulling out something that he says there. Notice the same language, right? Above all, you must understand. He just said that about Scripture. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. And then he uses that same intro. So, right, pay attention. Notice he's about to say something of importance. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And what do they say? They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Do you see what's happening here? There's a message in the world around us. There's a message that wells up in our hearts that says, nothing's ever going to change. It's always going to go on like this. It's a message of despair. If you feel like you're in that dark place, it just holds you down and keeps you down. This message that says, where is this coming? Where are these promises? It's been so long. It's been centuries. It's been, you know, millennia since some of these promises were given, and it hadn't happened yet. Guess what? It's not going to happen. So give up hope. If you're in a dark place, you're not getting out of that dark place. This is the message in our heads and in our hearts. If you're in a place where you don't really see the darkness and you're kind of moving through, yeah, that message is, hey, things aren't going to change. There's going to be no accountability for my life. So, hey, follow whatever desires you have. Do, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. Do what you want, because it's been so long since these prophecies were given, nothing's ever going to change. And so Peter says, above all, you must understand, that's what the world is trying to convince you and me of. Don't do anything different. Don't pay attention. You know, continue with what you're doing, because nothing's ever going to change. And Peter says, no, that's not true. He's saying, hang on, pay attention to these promises, because they are so certain. One day Jesus will return. It's not going to go on forever. It's long, to be sure. Patience and endurance is required, but one day Jesus will return. And he says, above all, not only must you understand the lie that's being fed to you, understand the truth that the prophecy will come true. He said, I've seen it with my own eyes. I've heard it with my own ears. At the end of my life, this is what I want you to know. Pay attention to the truth of the promise. Jesus will return. And so we're going to close today in a bit of a different way. An opportunity for us to sort of apply this exhortation, this encouragement, these last words of Peter, to pay attention to the prophecies, pay attention to the scriptures. The third chapter of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, really needs no help. He's so crystal clear in his summary of the moment and how we can find encouragement in it. And so we're going to close today just by reading Peter's last words to the church. It's the final chapter that he wrote. It's in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. It includes the passage that I just read a second ago. So we're going to close today, and I want to invite you to take on whatever posture helps you pay attention. So I'm going to read the chapter slowly. And if you want to close your eyes, maybe hold your hands open in a receptive posture, because that's how you can best pay attention to these words, to this bit of prophecy, then I invite you to do that. I will also have the words on the screen. So if reading the words as I read them aloud helps you pay attention, whatever it is, I want to help you apply what we've just been called to. Pay attention like a light in a dark place, and find hope today from Peter's last words to the church. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are preserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.